Do you have fond memories of people who, you know, used to come to the house and would discuss music with your father?
Yes, well, I mean, I didn't really understand really what was going on at the time. People would pop in all the time. People like Colin Keyes, who was his MD, and they'd come and rehearse and go through some songs. And it was really nice because that was the time that Dad was able to be at home.
Yeah, and of course, when we got Paul to have a chat with you on Monday, that was a bit of a surprise for you as well, wasn't it?
Oh, it's fabulous. I haven't spoken to him in years.
Yes, absolutely lovely. And of course, this is the beauty of our business because, you know, from sort of one quick phone call, all sorts of things will come. Has anybody got a phone a bit near the microphone? That's okay. Sorry about that, Michelle. We had a phone a little bit near the microphone.
No worries.
There's all sorts of twists and turns, really, in his career. And, of course, all the better-known songs are the ones that most people can quote you at least one or two examples of. When you came to put this collection together, what were you looking for?
Well, what happened, actually, is for Dad's 20th anniversary last year, I had come across some old film reels in the garage, and I had no idea what was on them because it was unlabeled. And I gave them to some gentlemen from Odeon who were going to put together a documentary. And it turned out that it was a live concert from Australia. And hence that was released last year, which was called An Evening With. And I thought, well, maybe I should take the time to go through a lot of stuff in the attic and actually see what was on it. But they were 78s, which I didn't have a player for. So I spent a lot of time having things sort of remastered and turned into CD so I could listen. And then also I thought, well, when Daddy used to go into the studio with George Martin, they would lay down maybe two or three tracks, and then the record company would pick what they thought they wanted as a release. And I thought, well, what happened to all the others? And so I went to Abbey Road to the archives, and I found lists and lists of songs. And I thought, well, these can't all be Dad, because they had some very obscure names, like Cuddly Old Koala.
I was going to ask you about that one.
Unbelievable. But it turned out that they were of Dad, and they weren't B-sides or sort of, you know, not such good tracks. They were fantastic tracks. But at the time, the record company didn't feel that they were the right ones for release. So I was really bowled over, and I thought, well, this is it. We've got to do the Rare Monroe.
This does sound interesting. Now, we've got a couple of little links that I can quickly look at. First of all, we're speaking from Spain. Now, this show goes right down to Gibraltar, all the way from virtually Valencia, as a quick mark for you. And your dad had to learn some Spanish, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he was very, very big in South America and Spain, and the Philippines, and he thought it would be really nice if he would sing to them in their native language, but he didn't speak Spanish, so he learnt it and sung them phonetically. And you know, in fact, his first platinum album was a Spanish album,
right?
And he sold millions of records there. He was really, really big. And in fact, next year we're releasing for the first time in England a double CD of his Spanish songs.
I'm just reading here that Can't Take My Eyes Off You, it was actually, he'd never recorded it in English.
No, he hasn't.
How strange.
I know. I mean, this is the thing. It's just finding so many wonderful tracks. I mean, there was actually, I'll give you an instance. My favourite song on this, on disc two, is The Wrong Time.
Oh, right.
It's All Right By Me. And there were two versions. One was with a big band. And this version, which I've chosen, is actually only with a trio. But you can tell that him and Johnny Spence are having the most wonderful time, and it really comes through on the track, and I thought, I've got to lay this down.
Okay, well, let's have a quick look. We'll listen to this one. Here it comes.
Though your face is lovely, it's the wrong face. It's not her face. Lovely face. It's all right with me. It's the wrong smile with the wrong lips. Though your lips are tempting, they're the wrong lips. They're not her lips, but they're such tempting lips that it's all right with me. You can't know how happy I am that we met.
Absolutely fantastic.
Well, people don't associate Daddy with swing as such.
No.
And I think this album holds a lot of surprises all round.
Well,
the wonderful thing about this whole the whole trip to get to this point was that it was through the website that I launched last year, which is www.mattmonroe.com, that one of my father's staunchest fans, a gentleman called Richard Moore, he specialised in audio restoration, and he said to me, anything you want done, I'm more than happy. So I sent some of these tracks to him, and he was the one that brought them up, and that is what I submitted to EMI.
Well, Dean works in a bar in Benidorm where I know that number that was just played.
That's right.
It'd go a bomb, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah, in the Mado.
I tell you, there's another little link that... I'm going to go to the Spanish songs in a minute, but why on earth do you think he recorded the floral dance?
Well, you know, in those days as well, it wasn't just all for EMI, and people would ask him to lay certain tracks down so they could hear them, hear how they would sound. And then those tracks would be plugged to music pluggers. And I just happened to have this master acetate of it.
Okay.
I've got a couple like that. And Sitting on Top of the World is another one.
Well, let's have a little bit of the floral dance, see what this sounds like.
As I walked home on a summer night, when stars in heaven were shining bright, far away from the footlights' glare, into the sweet and scented air of a quaint old Cornish town.
Do you know what, Michelle? I think I've heard this on the radio somewhere.
Yeah, it's got a fantastic instrumental in it.
It's a nice
another
track.
It's quite swinging in the middle. And a lot of these, you know, it's because people won't expect my father to have sung any of these, and I think that's the idea. It's even in the photograph that I use. EMI, most record companies choose, you know, full frontal face shots so that you automatically can see the artist from, you know, across the record shop. But I didn't want that, and I chose the picture on the front, which is actually Studio B in Abbey Road, because it had a lot of memories, and that's where most of the tracks were made.
Actually, that it does conjecture a picture of, you know, thinking, what number am I going to do next? How about the floral dance? Let's have a little, let's listen to the floral dance. Yeah, that band is certainly enjoying themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, when it came to the Spanish learning, did you ever have any memories of going around the house trying to sort of get the pronunciation right?
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, he was very scared to do it, actually. He had a lot of trepidation because he didn't want to insult anybody by singing the language incorrectly. And, of course, when you don't speak, you have no idea whether you're singing the phrasing right. Also, when to stop, when to slow down, because the language is completely different. But he did a show out in South America and literally blew the house down, and he was then encouraged to do more.
Okay, well, the track that I think we'll have a look at is No Puedo Quitar Mis Ojos de Ti, which I think we'll go back to old money and say, can't take my eyes off you.
Okay.
But you're coming out to see us soon, I believe. You're coming out this way.
I'm hoping to in the next few months.
Well, yeah. We've got to get you to come in and see us. We're up in Altea, which is not too far from Benidorm, and you know, it'd be lovely to show you the studios and everything.
Love to.
Let's go to the song. Here we go then. You can almost hear him worrying about the first pronunciation, can't you? That's lovely.
Qué tanta felicidad, allá llega hasta mí, y simplemente aprendí que el cielo se fue a alcanzar, pensando que voy a amar, por eso no juega así, quita mis ojos de ti, tú tienes que perdonar, mi insolencia mirar.
Well, Michelle, if we got any Spanish listeners, I'm sure they'd say that was absolutely lovely.
Well, on disc one, which you're playing, actually track 24, which is listed as When I Look Into Your Eyes, is also Spanish. And the reason we didn't put the Spanish title on it is because there isn't one. And that comes from a film called Dr. Dolittle, where it's a love song where he sings to the seal, Sophie.
Okay, here it comes.
En tus ojos se ve todo el misterio de este mundo de amor y la tristeza y el dolor de un adiós. En tus ojos se ve.
Dean as a singer, isn't this lovely?
Isn't it lovely, yeah. Brilliant.
I would love to have him to have done that in English as well, because it's a beautiful song, absolutely gorgeous. And but you know, this is the great thing about music. You know, it transcends any language, any age group. Everybody likes music.
Yeah. That's absolutely... How can people get hold of the CD, by the way? That's the thing I need to ask you quickly.
Oh, they can get hold of it on sites like Amazon and play.com, HMV, and also through the website. There's links, my own website, which I run for Dad, which, as I said, is mattmonroe.com. Wonderful little story, actually, about the word Monroe is that people used to write the wrong spelling. You'd get M-U-N, you'd get M-O-N-R-O-E. My father used to say it's quite simple, M-O-N-R-O. It's an anagram of moron.
I'm just looking at the thing. I've spelled it wrong, actually. But I hope you'll forgive me anyway.
Of course. It was one thing that went throughout his life. In fact, you could have three separate spellings in the same article. But I run the website. We update it every month, and it's full of news, and we have a fantastic forum where everybody comes and chats. And it's just been fantastic for me to get in contact with people, and it's how I met Richard. Without Richard, this album may not have come to fruition quite as successfully as it has.
Absolutely lovely. Look, the first track on a CD, as a DJ, the first thing I do is basically listen to a first track. So what I'm interested in is looking at why you chose Other People.
Okay.
No, but why did you choose
it? Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to say it. You know, it's very difficult when you put together an album and you pick your tracks and then you try and come up with the right running order. And I think it's the sort of song you put on and it grabs you immediately. It's slightly different to just anything. Or it grabbed me, let's put it that way. And you are biased a little bit. You know, when I do these, I do tend to choose the tracks that I like.
Oh, it must be awful for you to be really objective, because you must love them all.
It is. I'm just working on love songs for January, for Valentine's Day, and two CDs. It sounds ever such a lot, and it's not. You know, there's a wealth of material. And also, you try not to put things that everybody's got or they've heard. You know, you want to try and encourage the more rare sounds.
Okay, let's go for that first track. Let's have a listen to it.
Other people have a love to call their own. Someone who is all their own. Like a love should be. Other people never cry the whole night through on account of needing you.
That's a nice bossa nova beat, isn't it?
Yes, it's very simple, but also it's not too far away from what people know of my dad, so I don't think it scares them off too soon. Because some of these are quite removed from what he usually does.
Yes. Now, one of the things that obviously... I always like quirky things, because the quirky things tend to grab people's attention. And
yes.
I was very, very interested to see the fact that you've put a couple of his TV commercials right at the end of the second CD.
Well, I think, that's where it all started. And, you know, he was known as the commercial king, and he did several hundred. I thought it'd be fun, you know, because they're not around anymore. To share that.
Okay, well, let's try this one. Here we go.
We're on the town for a wonderful evening, watching a show we've been longing to see, dining out late.
It's so long since we danced.
Now we can drink to a wonderful evening with baby Sharon or two. Whenever we're together,
it's baby sham time.
The happiest time of the day.
Oh, lovely
day. I can actually remember that.
It's fabulous. I mean, and those are the things that the fans usually don't get to listen to, you know. And I, as I say, it was all very much a matter of me wanting to share it. There's also a track on disc two, I think it was number 16, which is Row, Row, Row. It's such an obscure track for Daddy, and it's only about 50 seconds, but I thought, you know, I do want to include it, because it's
did.
Fun.
Row, row, row. Way up the river he would row, row, row. I hug and give her, then he'd kiss her now and then, and she would tell him then. He'd fool around and fool around, and then they'd kiss again, and then he'd row, row, row. My little brother, he would row. Then he'd clap up his oars, take a few more on cars, and then he'd row.
Lovely, lovely old songs, aren't they?
It really is, and there's a wide spectrum of music on here. I was very, very lucky that EMI gave me carte blanche to really do what I wanted on this.
Very interestingly, last week I had on the show Brenda Lee, and it was music that we grew up with, and it's music that you hear still people singing around the bars and in the hotels and everything. What is it really like for somebody who's had such a famous father with such love in the music that he's produced over the years?
Well, I mean, I'm very proud of Daddy. I always have been. But for me now, you know, it's so important that I keep the legacy going, because it would be sad for me to feel that the music was just put to one side, you know? And I think because now we've got a whole new fan base, a younger audience as well, and that's why I said to you earlier, you know, music really does transcend everything. And the music is so good that it will survive, I think.
Yes. Now, I'm finishing by looking at one of the tributes that you put. And thanks to Steve Wolf. Wolf, is it, at email?
Yeah, Wolfie, I call him.
Okay. For putting up with my incessant nagging and weekly phone calls. So it really was a question of having to nag, was it?
Well, a little bit. I mean, you know, a record company has to make money. And they are really, every time they want to bring something out, they do want to put the Born Free on, the From Russia with Love, the Softly. And I have to try and look at it from the fans' point of view, is that they've got those, and they've got them on many albums. But EMI feel that it's only those familiar numbers that will help an album sell. They've been very good. They have let me get away with this, and I hope I don't have to eat humble pie. Mm. But I thought it was the right thing to do, to not just, you know, put a few on the next album and another few here. I wanted to make it quite powerful. I mean, there are very familiar tracks on here, things like New York, New York, and Birth of the Blues, but Daddy never sang them on record, you know, that was released. So they're not all obscure titles, but people just haven't heard Daddy sing them before.
He's had a 30-year career, and I see that he sold over 25 million records during his lifetime.
Yes, which was a lot in those days. Not quite the same as now, you know, because, you know, money was tight, and that was a lot of records then. Of course, he's sold a lot more now.
Yes,
which
yes.
is nice. But no, I mean, Steve Wolf and I have worked together for 10 years at EMI, and I'm on the phone to him virtually every day anyway. It wasn't really nagging, but it's, have you remembered to do this? Have you sent that? Have you sent me, you know, the artwork for this? And that's me. I like to get everything done perfectly.
Well, look, we're going to go out with New York, New York.
Lovely.
And I can assure you that we'll be playing the music here on OCI.
Oh, fabulous.
And obviously, we'd like to talk to you again, maybe in a couple of months. Tell us how things are going.
That'd be lovely.
And, you know, you did tell me that you're likely to be here. So if you do come along, obviously, come up to the studios, and we'd love to get you to talk a bit about your dad and his music.
No, I'd love to. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Michelle.